Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. You sound really excited about it. Hey, it's been quite a month, hasn't it? I mean, December can be, you know, kind of a stressful time, kind of a busy time. I mean, there are Christmas parties, there's Christmas concerts, there's ball games, there's finals, there's movie watching, gift swapping. Some of you told yourself this year that you were going to finish all of your Christmas shopping before December 1st. And yet, confession time, how many of you still have some of your shopping left to do? Guys, it's not nice to lie in church. It's okay if you still have some shopping to do. Just give yourself some grace, because it is kind of a busy season to be in. And speaking of busy season, you know, a lot of times we do have a lot of Christmas parties that we need to go to. And a lot of times when you go to a Christmas party, you're supposed to bring a gift with you, you know, for the exchange. And I was going to such a party last week with our lead ministers, or those who are going to be leading these independent churches going forward. And I was in a hurry. It was a Saturday night. And I was, you know, getting back in time, and I didn't have a lot of time to go get a gift. So I had this idea that I would wrap up something from around the house that I didn't need, and then put it in the, don't judge me, and then put it in the box. So I did. I grabbed the thing that was nearest to me. I grabbed a lamp. So I grabbed a lamp. It wasn't like a leg lamp, but it was a pretty nice lamp, you know, just, and so I grabbed the lamp. I put it in the box, and I wrapped it up really nice, you know, and just really nice wrapping paper. Took it to the party. We had a great time at the party. I mean, it was great. The gift exchange went really well. And as I was leaving, the hostess noticed something, that the person who had won the lamp in the exchange had left the party. But they had also left the lamp and had hid it behind a chair so that no one would see it, and then left it behind. Can you believe the audacity of some people? Some people just don't know a good gift when they see it. You know, I was just trying to follow the Bible, like when it says in 2 Galatians, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, you know. Okay, Galatians is not in the Bible. I see some of you starting to flip there. Okay, it's like, is that in the New Testament? No, it's not. It's not in the Bible. Maybe you heard this news story this past week. Did you know that the largest diamond ever to be found in North America was found in Canada just this past week? It was. I saw a picture of it. 552 carat diamond. Wow, right? Can I tell you, it didn't look all that impressive. I mean, I saw a picture of it. It was unpolished. It was uncut. It kind of looked like a wrinkled yellow potato to me. I got to thinking, you know, I'm glad that I'm not the one who came along and found this diamond. I probably would have picked it up thinking it was like a rock or something, just thrown it in the middle of the lake, you know, to see just like how big of a splash it might make. But thankfully, somebody found this diamond who knew what to look for. This is a season where we're looking for a lot of different things. You know, some kids right now are looking for gifts. Some adults are hiding gifts. Some adults are still looking for the gifts that they hid, but that's a whole nother story. Some of us are looking to the new year already, and some of us, we just want to get through this year. But we're all looking for something. And maybe you wonder, could there still be some wonder left in Christmas? Well, if that's you, I want to introduce you to an eyewitness to the first Christmas found in Luke chapter 2. He was an eyewitness. No, he was looking for something. He wasn't looking for a lamp. He was looking for the light of the world. And he wasn't looking for a large diamond, which pretty much confirms he wasn't married. But other than that, we know that he wanted to hold in his hands the most precious thing that this earth would ever know. I want to pray for us, and then I want us to take a closer look at what it was that he was looking at. Let's pray. Father, our prayer is that we would see you and only you. So somehow, would you give us eyes to see? Maybe something we've never seen before. Would you give us ears to hear more clearly? We want to see Jesus and only Jesus. Would you grant this in the name of Jesus, we pray. And all those who agreed said, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin there in just a moment in verse 25. But first, let me give you just a little bit of a background to this passage, or a little bit of what's happened in the passage leading up to this. According to Jewish tradition, a woman who's given birth to a son is unclean for 7 days. After this period, also according to Jewish tradition, for 33 days, she is to remain at home. So for a total of 40 days. Now after this 40 days, she is to make an offer for purification. So Mary is making her offering for purification. Now, she can't do this in Bethlehem, so she has to make the 6-mile trek to Jerusalem because you have to go to the temple for this sacrifice. They're also there because they want to dedicate, consecrate Jesus as their firstborn, which also, according to Jewish tradition, kind of a baby dedication like we'll be doing here in next month. But they are there already. It's only been 40 days, but they are already beginning to fulfill the requirements of the law. And this is where we find an old man named Simeon. Let's begin reading in verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to Israel's consolation, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he entered the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your servant in peace as you promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared it in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel." So here we see, they're in the temple courts. Mary and Joseph, they're doing things the right way. 40 days. 40 days since the star had lit up the night sky. 40 days since the shepherds came, the angels sang. 40 days since Mary had stared into the face of God. And here Mary and Joseph are in Jerusalem at the temple courts, and they're doing things the right way. But Simeon is too. And the promise is received by Simeon. And we're just going to go with that right there. Simeon is holding the promise. He's holding Jesus. He's doing things the right way. He's there because, as this passage told us, he was righteous. He was just and devout. He was a worshiper. He would have been no stranger to the customs of the Jewish customs. I mean, he was there every, he was at church every time the doors were open. He was not likely to be found missing church to stay home and watch the game. He was a worshiper. And so Simeon is there in the temple courts. But Simeon has another reason for being in the temple courts this day. It's not just so that he can be a good church goer, that he can punch the ticket, go through the motions. No, Simeon is there because he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel. This was another way to say the Lord's Messiah. This is the one that they were all waiting for. All waited, but only a few actually saw him. A lot of Bethlehem had missed Jesus, and now Jerusalem was about to do the same. Simeon was kind of an ordinary guy. And if we keep reading in this passage, we find that there's also a woman named Anna who also sees Jesus. Why is it that these two ordinary people, a man and a woman, see Jesus when others missed it? Why did they see Jesus when the educated missed him? Why did they see Jesus when the religious leaders of the day missed him? You see, Simeon was in place, and he was looking for Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. But how did he see him? And what does it mean for us as we look for Jesus too? Well, the first thing that I want you to notice is that Simeon believed the prophecies. He believed the prophecy. I don't know if at the synagogue they ever had an 8-week series on the book of Daniel, but if they did, I think Simeon would have been in the front row. I think he would have been soaking it up. Now, all the Jews had the scriptures in their head, but somehow Simeon had the scriptures in his heart. They were all content to be in the scriptures, but for Simeon, he wanted the scriptures to be in him. And the scriptures were so much in him that he centered his life around it. It actually changed his life, the way that he lived his life. That's why he's in the temple courts on this day. Because he wanted to see Jesus. Simeon knew what to look for because Simeon knew the scriptures. He believed the prophecies. And he centered his life around them. He believed the prophecies, and the prophecies guided him to Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but as I've read this passage, this has just been really convicting to me. I have to ask myself, do I read the Bible as someone who is desperately trying to see Jesus? You see, there were a lot of people who missed Jesus in Jerusalem that day because he was covered in rags. What a shame it would be for us in our day and time to miss Jesus because our Bibles are covered in dust. This is very convicting to me. If we, like Simeon, want to see Jesus, then we must be committed to the scriptures. Simeon believed the prophecies, but that's not all. He trusted the promise. Simeon trusted the promise. We know that Simeon was given a promise. Now, this time not by the angel Gabriel, but this time somehow from the Holy Spirit himself had revealed to Simeon that he would see Jesus before he died. So Simeon is trusting this promise. He's holding on to this promise. He is waiting for this promise. Some of you are waiting. Some of you are waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. Maybe you're believing, but you don't know when. You don't know how. You don't know where. But you're believing for a promise. Can I encourage you to do what Simeon did? If that's you, keep showing up. Keep showing up. That's what Simeon did. I mean, I want you to notice, Simeon is positioning himself to receive a promise. Now, notice I didn't say he is positioning himself to achieve a promise, but he is positioning himself to receive a promise. His trust in the promise is putting him in position to receive it. He just keeps showing up. I have to imagine that there were many days where Simeon entered the temple courts saying, "Today might be the day." And I have to envision that there were many days he went home saying, "Well, maybe tomorrow." But he kept showing up, and you can too. Allow trust to position you for God's promise. Simeon not only believed in the prophecy, he not only trusted in the promise, but Simeon followed the prompting. He followed the prompting. We know from this passage, get this, that Simeon is being guided by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we have studied this, that our God is three in one. He's three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. They are three, yet they are one. The Lord our God, the Lord is what? One. Because of the perfect harmony, the perfect unity, the perfect union that they have. Okay, so Simeon, let me get this straight. You saw what other people missed. You knew what to look for when no one else did, but just to be clear, you had God the Father giving you God the Holy Spirit to guide you to find God the Son? Simeon says, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, this is amazing. I mean, how could someone miss it? For you gamers, this is like the greatest cheat code ever known to man. I mean, how could you miss? It does. It feels a little bit like cheating, doesn't it? This is a pretty good deal for Simeon. God is going to give God to Simeon to find God. It's a pretty good deal for him. But if you're a believer, this is a pretty good deal for you too. And if you're not a believer, well, this is a pretty good deal for you too, if you want it. If you're not a Christian, you don't consider yourself a Christian. I mean, Christian are people that have to, you know, check their brains at the door before they walk in. I mean, you're just here because someone promised you dinner afterwards. Listen, this is for you too. This deal that Simeon had, this deal that believers had, this deal is for you too. You see, that's the point of salvation for all. That's why it's good news, because it's not just open to some. It's open to all. It's not just a deal that's open to the pastors or the saints or the do-gooders. No. This is a deal that is for the one who struggles to put down the bottle. This is one deal that is open to the one who struggles to escape the grip that pornography has on their life. This deal is for the one who's made a mess of their family. This deal is for the one who's made a mess of their finances. This deal is for the one who carries so much guilt and so much shame right now during this season that they can't help but wonder, maybe this world is better off without them. No one can find God without God's help. No one. But here's the best news of all. God wants to be found. God wants to be seen. He wants to marshal every resource that he has in the universe so that you can find him. He's not hiding. He wants you to be able to see him. Now, here's why this is important. Simeon would say, if you want to see Jesus, then believe in the prophecies, trust in his promises, follow the prompting. This is important if you want to see Jesus. But here's another reason. This is also important because you will see Jesus. He is coming back. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. He will return. We cannot count the days, but we can count on this promise. I want you to notice, this time, Jesus will not be coming back as a baby. He'll be coming back as a warrior, full of glory. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The skies will disappear with a loud noise. Everything in them will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be burned up. and that way everything will be destroyed. So what kind of people should you be? Great question, Peter. I'm so glad he asked that question. What kind of people should we be? In light of the fact that Jesus is going to come back, what kind of people should we be? Should we be a people that shout at the world? Should we be a people that withdraw from the world? Should we be a people that just, you know, blend in to the world? Well, I'm so glad that Peter answers his own question. Let's continue to read in verse 11. He says, "You should live holy lives and serve God as you wait and what? Look forward." As you wait and look forward to the coming of the day of God. You see, Peter is reminding us of what the prophets reminded Simeon. And that was Jesus, he's coming back. You can count on that promise. He will return. In the meantime, our job, my job, your job, is to live holy lives and to serve God. I want you to notice how Titus puts this in chapter 2. He says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we," what? "Wait." While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. I love how the Message paraphrases this last line here. It says, "He, while we wait, he is making us a people he can be proud of, energetic in goodness." I like that, don't you? Energetic in goodness. Now, it's not my goodness, but this is the goodness of God. You see, this is why here at the end of the year, we are focusing our energy and our resources here with our year-end offering to things like helping marriages that are hurting, saving marriages that are hurting, families that are struggling. To be able to serve in our community, to be able to build homes for the poor, to break the chains of generational poverty. This is why we're preparing for the future. Can I tell you something about the next generation? They have an abundance of energetic goodness. This is why we are responsibly paying down our debt, because we don't want anything to stand in the way of the plans and the dreams that God has for them. We want to be prepared for the future. So, we wait. As a church, as the bride of Christ, we wait. But we don't wait passively. We wait actively. We wait with energetic goodness. Paul gives us a recipe for this. As we wait, Romans 12 and 12 says, "Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. And keep on praying." Keep on praying. Simeon found wonder in the first Christmas. He found wonder because he knew what he was looking for. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? This Christmas season, I want you to think of Simeon. He was old in age, but he had faith like a child. Would you be willing, with faith like a child, be willing to dare to reclaim the wonder of Christmas, the truth that Jesus bears witness to in your life. I hope you get some good presents this year, but don't miss Jesus. He's still the best deal around. And this is a deal for all people. And he's not hiding from you. He will make himself known. He will be seen if you have eyes to see. That is my prayer for you. Oh, and by the way, word to the wise. If anybody tries to pawn off their used lamp, just leave it behind. You don't need it. You have the light of the world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent the light of the world, not just to a select few, but to the Gentiles, to all. There would be salvation for all people. Well, that's us. We're all people. Would you give us eyes to see? Would you give us ears to hear this good news? We thank you for the good news. We thank you for your Son. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. And all those who agreed said, Amen.